Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And our thanks to, of course, Jason Davenport for being here. Yeah, he's the brand spanking new director of Pilgrim's Inn, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And if you have not heard about Pilgrim's Inn, you need to, because it's got a long history of serving people who are in need in our community. So, Jason, welcome to Straight Talk here on WRHI.
Thank you so much, Manning. Great to be with you.
All right. Well, as we always do with newbies, and you are a newbie, you need to tell us a little bit about your background, if you would.
All right, sure. I grew up outside of Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and went to Wake Forest University, where I majored in biology and went back and got a seminary degree. And served in Presbyterian churches for quite a few years as pastor at several different churches, most recently in Fort Mill at the Riverview Presbyterian Church. Then while I was there, got my MBA with a concentration in nonprofit management from UNC Charlotte, and was interested in moving toward working with nonprofits and helping our neighbors in need particularly. So I'm really excited that I was able to land at Pilgrim's Inn about a year ago as the financial and grants administrator, and then had the opportunity to step up as executive director about a month ago.
Wow. So you are an ordained minister?
I am, yes, sir.
And you also have your MBA?
Yes, sir.
And you're an accountant and all this other kind of stuff. Well, that's great. That's one heck of a combination. I like that for sure. So how did you end up at Pilgrim's Inn? I mean, you just were looking to get into a nonprofit, and there was a slot open there?
That's pretty much is how it happened. I was looking for nonprofits that were looking for somebody to help run things and a way that I could serve the Lord and serve our neighbors in need, like I said. And a slot was open, and it seemed to be a good fit.
So now you have moved into the executive director's job.
Correct.
Yes, and that happened with a retirement or relocation of Juanita?
That's right. Miss Juanita left us back in May, and I was able to interview and was selected to be the next executive director.
Did you think that was going to happen when you first came?
Honestly, no. I thought Miss Juanita would be with us for a while longer, and really wished that were so. We miss her quite a bit.
All right, so we needed to do some basics here for a lot of people who are new to our community who really don't know the history or the background of Pilgrim's Inn, and I'm going to let you take a stab at it. Go ahead.
All right, I'll give you a very brief overview. Back in 1981, a very precious person in our community named Tricia Culkin was working, was out of St. Anne's Church, just had a heart for helping others, and so she started with some donations from the church to help people out with power bills and medications and things like that, rent, assistance. And from there, it grew into a really beautiful and wonderful thing through the years, through several locations in the Rock Hill area, eventually opening up a homeless shelter over near Winthrop, I believe right on Oakland Avenue in that area. And then in 1993, I believe it was, moved to our current location over on West Main Street, where we have an administrative building and a house that serves very well as a homeless shelter for women and children. And in our administrative building, we have a couple of great things going on. Our food pantry, which serves folks that are in need of help with food, and our affordable child care center, which is a really wonderful thing for those who are in our shelter and those in the community who need a place for their children while they work and go to school.
That's great. So tell me, I didn't know you had a child care center. How does that work?
Yes, sir. We have a child care center for children 6 weeks old through ready to enter kindergarten. And we have, I believe it's five different classrooms for children of various ages. And it's an educational-based program to allow the children to learn and grow and be ready for school when they become school age. It's a really, really wonderful thing. And like I say, it started because there was a need for those who were in our shelter to have somewhere for their children to go while they could study and get job training.
So a typical week, you might have how many kids in there?
Right now, we're down a little bit because of COVID and some other things, but right now we're running about in the range of 10 to 13 children. Okay. But in the past, we've had many more, as many as 30 or 40 kids.
Really?
At a time. We're licensed for up to 52 children, and we're looking to grow that program and to continue to welcome those who would like to come be with us. We just this year started a First Steps 4K class through the state of South Carolina, and are thrilled to have opened that up this past month. And we're looking for folks that would like to apply to come. To apply through the state, through the First Steps 4K program. And we would love for you to come and be a part of us.
So does that tie in with the child care program?
It does. It's a key part of our child care program.
Okay.
For four-year-olds.
All right, so when you say it's an affordable child care program.
Yes, sir.
Give me an idea as to what the fee structure is.
Absolutely. Well, most people's jaw drop when they hear that our tuition is just $100 a month.
Hello?
For child care.
$100 a month?
$100 a month.
For 5 days a week?
For 5 days a week, yes, sir.
Whoa.
And we're open 7:30 to 4. And the way we're able to offer that is through the generosity of our community, quite honestly, through foundations that support us, through churches and businesses that open their hearts and give to support Pilgrims Inn. That's how we're able to do what we do.
Tell them that fee again.
It's $100 per month.
Wow, that's amazing. So is this income driven, or do you have to have a certain income qualification to get into this program? Or you can't be over a certain income? Not sure.
I need to do a little research on that piece. But typically, folks come to us from our shelter or referrals from folks that are in need. So usually that's not too much of an issue.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing to be able to get child care for $100 a month.
Yes,
yeah, that's
sir.
Quite something. All right. So people who are in trouble will come to the Pilgrims Inn, and how do you, you offer shelters.
Yes, sir.
That's for moms and kids, right?
That's right. That's for women and children.
Right. And how many can you handle?
We have 14 beds at the shelter. The Dorothy Bing Inn is the name of our shelter, and we have one room that houses six single women, and then three rooms that are set up for families, for women and children.
So a total of 14 bodies you have capacity for?
Yes, sir, 14 at a time.
All right, and my guess is you're jam-packed, right?
We are. We stay pretty full. As quick as a family or an individual moves out, we've already got a waiting list that is of folks that are screened and ready to join us and come in.
Right. So what do you do when somebody, a family comes knocking on the door and you've got no place to put them up? Do you have a referral system where you're sending them somewhere?
We sure do. We've got some great partners in the community that are able to help with more immediate. If we have a room, we're certainly opening it up right then to those who are in need. But a lot of times we don't have an immediate slot, and so we reach out to the Salvation Army and to Family Promise and other great partners here in Rock Hill that help us with short-term needs as well.
Right. And I know there's I've forgotten the name of it right now, but I know there's a new women's shelter that's operational over there on Wilson Street, and I can't remember what the name of it is.
It's escaping me at the moment, too. But, yes, they're going to be a great new partner as well. We look forward to working together.
Yeah, and they're actually expanding their operation as we speak. Okay, so there's a fee structure for the shelter or not?
No, there's no cost for the shelter. We have a program, though, that folks enter into when they come to be with us, and it's called the CITE program. And that it's an acronym spelled CITEE, and that stands for Creating Independence Through Education and Employment. And through that program, all of our clients, all of our residents are working with our social worker to help come up with a plan to help with financial stability, to help them move from homelessness to the goal is to have them back on their feet in market rate housing. Folks come and stay with us for 90 days, and during that time, they're able to we assist with some job training. If they don't have their GED, that's goal number one, is to get them into a GED program to help them get that step up in their education, and then to help get them to work and to get them to be able to tuck away some savings so that when they leave us, they're able to start paying toward their rent.
So what is the track record on that? How successful has that been?
We show about 85% success rate of helping folks move to a stable place when they leave us. We wish it were 100%, but 85% is pretty good.
I say 85% is pretty good. So you don't see the 85% who graduate, you don't see them coming back, you know, 2 or 3 months later?
Typically not. We like I say, that 85% success rate has been stable for a number of years now. Now occasionally we'll have somebody who will come back some months down the road or even a few years down the road who's fallen on hard times again. That happens occasionally.
Right.
And we're certainly, depending on the space that we have, willing to help again as we're able.
So when your social worker sits down with one of these moms, or a single mother, or a single woman, whatever the case might be, and they determine, as you point out, that they need to get their GED. So you call the adult education and get them involved in that program?
Absolutely. We can get them signed up as quickly as we can to get them started.
Well, that's going to take more than 90 days to complete, correct?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
I think that's right. So if it takes more than 90 days to complete, do you allow them to stay longer in the shelter as long as they're demonstrating, I'm working on this and I'm working on that, trying to get out of here?
A couple different answers to that. One is, yes, we can offer extensions to those for the shelter, for those who are showing promise in continuing their education, showing promise in lining up for housing where they can go when they leave the shelter. And then we also have some apartments called the Trisha's Court Apartments, which are 10 apartments right there on our property that we use for transitional housing. And it's a great program to allow folks to stay a year or 2 years even, to be able to continue to build their savings and continue to work on their education if need be.
So my guess is those are probably filled up as well.
They stay pretty full. Yes, sir.
But to get into that, I guess you have to show that you have done this, you've done that, as outlined by your social worker?
Yes, sir. We definitely look for those who are making good progress toward their goals that are laid out between them and the social worker.
Is there some kind of a rent structure for the transitional housing?
There is. Typically, that's based on the state formula of 30% of income. So as a person gets to work, then their rent would be based on 30% of their monthly check.
Okay. All right. So, again, you have a time limit on that. In other words, you've got – how many did you say you have?
There are 10 apartments.
10 apartments, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
So you've got 10 apartments, and you're giving them up to 2 years to be in there? Is that right?
It depends on the situation. Everything depends on their situation and how they're progressing, but it can be up to 2 years for transitional housing, yes.
And all this is on that same complex off of West Main Street?
It is, right there at the corner of West Main Street and Laurel Street.
You must have most of that blocked by now. Good for you. And again, when you take a look at those who graduate out of the apartments or the transitional housing, do you find that they're pretty much staying out of the Pilgrim's Inn umbrella, not coming back?
They do. We've had really good success of helping people stay on their feet and continue to be successful.
So as you mentioned, this started in early 1980s with Trisha Culkin.
That's right.
And here we are 40 years later, I guess.
This is our 40th anniversary. We're celebrating this year.
40th anniversary. Okay. The can I say? The need, obviously, as our population grows, the demand for your services is growing, correct?
That's right. Yes, sir.
And because of this demand, as we just pointed out with the housing, I mean, you're not able to, you need other people to be doing the same kind of thing that you're doing.
Oh, definitely. definitely. There's much more need than Pilgrims Inn and 10 other agencies could meet, but we're working hard to do our part.
Okay. So has anybody tracked the numbers of people that you've helped over 40 years? I mean, it's got to be thousands and thousands.
It is. The best numbers that I've been able to come with up with, just brand new to Pilgrims Inn, go back to about 2013, and I've been adding up, and it's well over, it's in the tens of thousands that have come to our food pantry, for sure.
Phew.
And we've been able to help.
I would imagine that you're helping in tens of thousands almost on an annual basis. A lot of people I've seen floating in and out of there.
A lot.
Thousands, for sure. Maybe not tens of thousands, but thousands.
Right. Thousands per year, for sure. Yes, sir.
So tell me how the food pantry works.
Okay. The food pantry is set up where, used to, before COVID, you'd come into the lobby and fill out an application. But since COVID, we've turned it into more of a drive-up type food pantry. So now you enter off of Laurel Street and come into the parking lot, drive up to our door at the food pantry. We have to take a little bit of information that's required through our partners at Second Harvest Food Bank and the TFAP program. But as we collect that data fairly quickly, but we can help folks once a month. And they leave with about 2 to 3 weeks' worth of groceries.
Wow, that's a bunch of groceries.
It is a lot of groceries. And we're blessed through donations from the community, through individuals, through businesses who do food drives. We're so thankful for those. And through Second Harvest Food Bank to be able to offer that food once a month. And the food that folks get is based on family size. So if they've got 5 people, then we try to provide more than we would to a couple of folks.
So do you pretty much select what they're going to get? If they're a family of 5, you know what it's going to be?
We do our best to give a variety that's going to be a good nutritional variety, but also try and put things together that make common sense meals. So we try to provide some meats. We try to provide some dairy. Some lately, cheese has been a big thing we've had on hand. Some vegetables. Cereal, especially if they've got children in the house.
I know there's
a good variety.
I know there's another ministry, a grocery ministry like what you're talking about, down here at Pathways, Manor House.
Yes, sir.
And just to watch the flood of people that come in there every Saturday morning to pick up their weekly groceries is just it's just amazing. How many people are food hungry? I mean, they're just hungry. Bottom line. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. A reminder of their new hours, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. here at Substation 2. Straight Talk, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Speaking of Substation 2, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes, the magical way we do it at the count of three. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in at locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Jason Davenport is with us. He is the brand new executive director of Pilgrim's Inn. And as he mentioned before we took the break, this is their 40th anniversary at Pilgrim's Inn. Started back in 1981 with a lovely lady by the name of Tricia Culkin, who many of us have had the pleasure of knowing. So I got to think you got some stuff going on for the 40th anniversary. True or false?
That's absolutely true. We're inviting folks to come and see more about us and to join in and be a part. And specifically wanted to invite people to come and tour Pilgrim's Inn on Monday, this coming Monday, September the 13th. We've got tours going from 10 a.m. to 11:30 every 30 minutes and from 2 to 3:30. Every 30 minutes as well. We're going to invite people to walk the halls and see where the magic happens, where we're able to help so many folks on the grounds of Pilgrim's Inn. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we're inviting any potential volunteers to come and be with us at 11 and at 1 for volunteer orientations.
I was going to say, how important are volunteers to what you do?
Gosh, they are the lifeblood of Pilgrim's Inn. Last year we were counting up how many volunteers had come and helped us out, and we had over 1,200 volunteers come and help us with everything from refreshing paint in the apartments to reading to our children to packing the food that goes out the door through the food pantry.
Wow.
To helping with the grounds, the bushes and the grass and everything. Just volunteers keep us going for sure.
So all of this is going to be happening next on Monday, right? 40th anniversary. Well, anything else?
Throughout the week. Monday is the tours, Tuesday and Wednesday, the volunteers orientation. And then in the evening on Thursday, we're going to be doing what we're calling a homeless simulation.
Uh-huh.
A time for us to join in with a simulation where you're given a scenario and you make decisions based on what it would be like to be short on bills at the end of the month, to really know what it's like to struggle, and to have some empathy toward our neighbors in need.
That's going to be when? What day?
That's going to be Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening.
And how are you going to actually do that?
Our social worker, Ashley Garrett, is going to walk us through various scenarios. But when you come, you'll be assigned a role and given some questions that will help you make decisions throughout a simulated month.
It can happen to anybody. We've said on this program 100 times that it just takes, walk in one day, you've lost your job.
That's right.
Lost a loved one in the family. All of a sudden your world comes upside down and you're not generating any income. Most people in the world live paycheck to paycheck. They don't have a whole bunch of money to fall back on. So it can happen.
That's exactly right.
Everybody has a story, that's for sure. They don't want to be in that situation. Most of them don't. Can't say all of them, but most of them don't want to be in that situation. So do you work with any other agencies in terms of trying to get these particular people back up on their feet? I mean, I know you said adult education. You send them over there.
We do.
Where else would you be recommending they go to get certain skills for what they need to do to work?
For skills? Well, we have had situations where we've been able to get folks enrolled at York Tech and to help them continue their education that way.
I mean, do you offer a tuition assistance for something like that if they don't have any money?
We do. We're able to help, particularly with books and fees. A lot of the time, we can help.
Right. Okay. So, as part of this walk around, the tours that you're going to be doing on Monday, every 30 minutes between 10 and 11:30, and between 2 and 3:30.
Yes, sir.
You're going to take them through the food pantry?
Yes, sir.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We're going to go through the food pantry. We'll briefly take a peek at the child care center as well. Get to see the outside of the shelter and our apartment complex.
Right. So how many buildings do you have over there off West Main Street?
Three main groupings. We've got the administrative building, which houses the our offices, the child care center, and the food pantry. That's all under one roof. Then we have the Dorothy Bing shelter, which is next door on Main Street. And then we have the duplex apartments out back, and there are five of those.
Right. So are you trying to, I don't know, in the future acquire any more properties that are around you so that you can handle this demand that keeps popping up?
Well, there is certainly need for more apartments. No specific plans at the moment, but we're always dreaming and always trying to keep our minds and hearts open about what might be the next way that we can help.
Right. And you've got a board, I'm sure?
We have a great board that is working hard to help us figure out what that next step might be and to keep us going in the meantime.
Do you have a website?
We do, pilgrimsinn.org.
Pilgrimsinn.org. That's pretty simple.
Pilgrimsinn.org.
And on there we will find basically details of everything we've talked about here.
You'll find a lot of details about the programs that we offer. The 40th anniversary celebration details, the best place to find those would be on our social media.
All right. Facebook
and Instagram.
All right. Now, talk to me about money. Pilgrim's Inn needs money to do all this stuff. Where are your dollars coming from?
We are particularly in the last year, been blessed by so many, and for the last 40 years, to be honest, by those in the community who have opened their hearts and minds to bless us. We operate from a lot of different funding sources. Individual contributions make up quite a significant percentage. We write grants and reach out to foundations that support various things like homeless support, food pantries, child care centers. And then we actually have several different partnerships with government agencies that help us with the child care center, with our housing programs. We partner with the Department of Social Services and the Department of Mental Health.
So very quickly, what is your budget? How much does it take to operate Pilgrim's Inn?
It's a little over $500,000 a year.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we have run out of time. I'm sorry to say, Jason, thank you for being with us. Congratulations on your 40th anniversary. And again, go on social media to find out details about their 40th anniversary, which is kicking off next week. So, Jason, keep up the good work. Let us know if we can help you.
Thank you so much for the chance to be with you today.
Jason Davenport, the new executive director of Pilgrim's Inn, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. There is a magical formula to make this place the success that it is. Dr. Scott Oliver is here today. He is going to lead us in the chant that he knows all so well, because it's in big letters and he can see it. Are you ready? At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.